Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Brazil.
That would be really weird. There's a Brazil, Mississippi.
There is.
Okay.
There is. Our friend Lee Battelle probably has been there because it's in the Delta.
Oh, I'm sure.
It is. Let me see what road this is
here. He's covered every square inch.
So it's between Chancy and Turner, and it's in, what county is this? Hold on. It's in Tallahatchie.
Okay.
Tallahatchie. It's on Highway 321, approximately 8 miles north of Webb and 12 miles south of Lambert.
There we go.
There you go.
Home of the throat rolls.
Yeah, something like that. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away over at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Our friends of the Mississippi Beef Council want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I enjoy it. All of you guys who tweeted out your pictures to me of your prime ribs and your tenderloins and everything else that was cooking. I saw some Christmas Day briskets. My prime rib, it's outstanding. I couldn't have been happier.
We had an eye of round.
That's a fine cut.
My dad has never cooked an eye of round.
And
he was upset when he first got it out of the oven. He thought he did a terrible job on it. He was mad.
And?
As any dad would do.
Oh, I would.
When he started cutting into it, because he's very meticulous about the internal temperature.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And when he started cutting into it and he saw that it was cooked really well,
yeah,
he lit up. It made his day. It was very good. I prefer prime rib.
Yeah,
but
round is great.
It's a cheaper.
Yeah. I've had it.
I think it's like $5 a pound or something, but it was still really good.
I think your dad and I, like, there's nothing worse. Like, you spend all this money and all this preparation and all this time on this big cut of meat, and then you screw it up. And it's like, it's one thing when it's a pork butt, and you're like, well, I can just let it cook for another 30 minutes and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, once you go over that certain temperature, you can't go back.
No.
And so I've been there a couple times, and so good for Big Daddy.
Man, I ate so good over Christmas.
I didn't count calories this week. I just no point. I'm not gonna count calories until New Year's Day.
I had four different Christmases, three different eating experiences.
I had three.
And every one of them was, the first one was a brunch.
We did a brunch.
The brunch was, oh my Lord, if I could go back and relive that brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did, my dad's house,
that's
my
Christmas
mom and dad's
Day.
House. Well, no, it was day before Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Christmas Eve.
23rd. Okay.
And we had, you know, eye round, baked potatoes, ham, stuff like that. That was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we went to my in-laws on Christmas Day, smoked turkey, ham, homemade mac and cheese, and then the desserts, talk about those.
There you go.
What a run.
Fantastic.
What a run.
You should run to Strange Brew Coffee House this weekend. Grab yourself some coffee. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com if you don't live in Starkville.
No, we were on beef.
Oh, we had moved on to beef. The thought of the beef got me
coffee
got me
and beef, though. I mean, I could get on board with that.
You can do a coffee rubbed filet, no question.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do that, but I would drink maybe an albino squirrel with my prime rib.
Squirrel? You say?
Squirrel.
Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. It is a new year. It's time to get some new gear, and that's the place to do it. College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. You need new gear. You need the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. Get it at College Corner. No more banner M. Come on. We are leaving that behind. Leave it behind. 2025 is the year of the new Mississippi State logos. You can get them at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town as always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville for basketball this weekend, grab a meal at Restaurant Tyler. You will be so happy that you did. And anytime you're in Starkville, for lunch, the best blue plate in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meats, veggies, and the best cornbread. If you are a true Southerner and you love that lunch blue plate, the best place to get it in Starkville is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you want answers, you need to have a bank like Priority One Bank ready to give you those answers in a timely fashion. You don't want to wait around. You need a bank like Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we get into MSU sports, we have a birthday announcement. Not everybody gets a birthday announcement, but some people do. And when you bake me a cake every year on my birthday, you get a birthday announcement. So our friend Alex Watson wanted to wish her a happy birthday today. Robbie, she's 50 years old.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to go on board with that.
No, she asked for this.
She's okay with it?
She's 50 years old.
50?
50, brother.
Brother.
Sister.
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 Happy birthday, Alex.
Alex, I'm glad you signed off on that.
Yeah,
I would have not
specifically
told your age.
Yes. No, she said she wanted to.
She wanted the 50.
So, you know, for years when I've been doing those Advantage Business Systems reads, I'll, like, make a comment sometimes about, like, how old. Like, 48's a long time.
Yeah.
Because she's technically 1 year older than me. So
okay.
I could always make that joke about her.
So you weren't even talking about yourself.
No,
I was
talking about her. I was trying to. I was joshing with her the whole time. So, but now she's 50.
50.
So happy birthday, Al. She's in Vegas right now.
Oh, good for her.
Like, not Stark Vegas either.
I would love to go to Vegas again.
Yeah.
Great trip.
Yeah, she's been. She sent me a picture from something. She was eating somewhere, and I was like, the drink is bigger than the plate of food.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is going to see Shania Twain in Vegas.
Still the one I want for life.
I used to get made fun of for being a Shania Twain fan when I was in elementary school.
Be a fan of Shania Twain.
Who's laughing now?
That's right. Did you do that when she said that in the song?
Yes, for life. Yes, every time.
That was something we'd love. That song would come up and be like, yes, we get to do this.
I'd convince myself that it was a nod to the NWO.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. A lot of MSU sports has happened since we last got together. We will talk about what's occurred in the portal and
a lot. I can't tell you how many people messaged me, came up to me at events, begging to have a show.
But can't we just have a little Christmas holiday?
No. Every time we leave,
stuff happens.
What we get. I mean, like, we are, for whatever reason, rely on us.
No podcast the week of the Kentucky basketball game or the LSU baseball series. No podcasts those weeks.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well.
Well, but we win.
That's true.
That's what happens when we have no podcast. Positive stuff happens.
That is true.
All right. Let's start with the coaching staff. News broke today. Credit to Steve Robertson over at 24/7 Sports. He was first on this. That Mississippi State's going to make some changes on the coaching staff. Now, changes have been kind of like rumored, but with the way things were going and they were recruiting and you know, we're at this point, it's like, all right, obviously I thought those rumors were mistaken. Not the case. So Mississippi State is adding two coaches, and one coach is out, and that's Cody Kennedy, the Mississippi State offensive line coach, no longer going to be part of the staff. This is not him walking away. This is him being told to walk away. We need to make. I feel like there are some people who are like not sure about that.
Yeah.
He was relieved of his duties.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Mississippi State goes to Colorado for two coaches, one of which has a Jeff Lebby connection, one of which has a Mississippi connection. The Jeff Lebby connection is on the offensive line, and that's their offensive line coach, Phil. We determined it's Lodeholt. What a great name for an offensive line coach.
I mean, the dude looks like he'd get out there right now, too, and play.
Well, this is a guy who's a former offensive lineman in the NFL, 7-year vet, coached with Lebby at Central Florida, at Ole Miss, and at Oklahoma. This year was his first year as an offensive line coach. He'd been an analyst prior to that. Went out to Colorado. And, you know, a group that, if you recall, like the first couple games of the season, they were not good.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, they played much better. I know that their last game out, the bowl game against BYU, they played poorly. But by and large, he made that group a much better group than it was a season ago. And I think those of us who, if you watch a lot of Colorado, I know they gave up some sacks. Shedeur Sanders is allergic to throwing the ball away. He will hold the ball a long
time. Yeah, there's some context that needs to be had.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people
watch Colorado play a little bit.
Immediately, people just started saying, why are we taking this guy? Because their offensive line sucks.
Yeah, well, you got to watch them. Plus, he's a top-notch recruiter.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, he's off to a good start.
He brought in a five-star guy to Colorado in Jordan Seaton. He was able to get Cardi Smith's commitment, a guy Mississippi State wanted badly. He ended up – so this is a guy who's I feel like can be a good recruiter, at least the early – like you look at his resume on paper, he's a good recruiter.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Loadholt. We reported last year in the offseason, talking to some Oklahoma people when all that – when the changeover was happening – you know, we came in there and told people that Loadholt was going to be on the staff as an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a guy that Jeff Lebby has had with him now at Ole Miss. He was at Ole Miss. He was at Oklahoma.
All three of his previous stops.
Yeah.
Central Florida, yeah.
This is a guy that Lebby is very familiar with, very high on, and was going to eventually be a part of this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. This is Jeff Lebby's guy, and it was going to happen eventually. I think it was good for him to get a year of experience leading an offensive unit because he's just been an analyst. And I kind of attribute it, like, it's kind of a lot like what's going on with Pernell McPhee right now. I think he's kind of on the fast track.
That's a good example, yeah.
Former NFL player, a guy that, you know, he knows the game. He's taken to the recruiting side of things, I think, very well. And I just think that with him coming into an offense that he already knows, it's a really good fit for Mississippi State. Kennedy was always, you know, I really like Cody Kennedy a lot. Great guy. And he did some good things at Mississippi State, too. And the fit was kind of a little strange for me. It felt like
hadn't worked.
He was maybe
offense.
The second or third option.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fit. Yeah, I don't know if he'll be really good at Mississippi State or not, but this is a fit. This is somebody that knows Lebby, knows his traits, knows what he's looking for in an offensive lineman. He knows this offense and the type of recruits that you're looking for here. So, and his name carries weight. You're already seeing, you know, kids in the 2026 class tweet about this.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that are committed to him now at Colorado are tweeting about it, like Cardi Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's a bad hire at all. No, I think it's a good hire.
I do wonder. I guess Lebby just felt like he needed somebody who was a little more experienced. Why do you don't just go ahead and pull the trigger on this last year and make him your offensive line?
I think that's what it was. I think it's a first-time head coach not wanting to go too deep in the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody Kennedy had coached in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of experience as an offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a bad idea. And I don't like. I look at Cody Kennedy, and I'm not like it was a disaster or anything.
Right.
Like, certainly wasn't great, but it's not like this was just an awful hire.
I think it's more recruiting than what
probably
he did in the field.
He did some good things in recruiting, but he did miss out on some guys too. It's like
you had 2 4-star offensive linemen in the state of Mississippi this year. You lost the commitment of one, and the other one never really seriously considered you.
And then you look back at the spring and the guys who was getting here, he was getting Cardi Smith and Lionel Prudhomme and guys like that.
Early on, we thought, okay, this guy getting it done.
Tyler Miller was up here a lot.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any of those. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the, you know, getting them here was not the issue. It was getting them signed. And he wasn't able to do that. But wish him well, obviously.
Yeah,
you know, we
liked him, yeah.
We had some really good conversations with him just in passing. Great guy, really down to earth. And I'm sure he'll land on his feet for sure. But as far as this is concerned, I think it's just Lebby getting back to his roots a little bit. He's got a unit right now that's more adept to what he does offensively. Now you need more out of the wide receiver group right now. But, you know, as far as the offensive line, I think this has a chance to be a really good hire with a Loadholt, who I think is kind of a rising star at that position group.
Yeah. The other addition is on the defensive side of the ball, where also coming from Colorado is Vincent Dancy, who is their defensive ends coach. Interesting guy, a Mississippi guy. Played. It's from Knoxville County, is that correct?
I believe that's right,
yeah. played at Jackson State, was an all-SWAC player there, then coached there for a couple years, then went to Mississippi Valley and became the head coach there from 2018 to 2022. If you are from Mississippi, you know that that is maybe the toughest job in all of college football.
Very difficult job.
You know, he won 10 games in five seasons there. Obviously, the COVID year is a little different. They were 1-3 that year. They only played four games. And then he moves to Colorado. Last year was a quality control guy, and this year coached their defensive ends. So Mississippi connections, Mississippi guy. And one thing I found very interesting, you know, we talk about Cody Kennedy. A year ago, when that announcement was made that he was coming to Mississippi State, Arkansas fans were quite happy that he was leaving. This time around, when you look at the Colorado fans, it seems to be pretty consensus that this is a big loss for us. This is not good for Colorado. These guys are going.
And they really like Dancy.
Right. What makes this interesting is we've learned that Kennedy is out. Nobody is out on the defensive side of the ball, so they're going to obviously have to restructure something. You can only have 10 on-the-field assistants that are allowed to recruit off of campus. So either and you know, this guy is going to coach outside linebackers and edge rushers. You've got David Turner saying they're saying he's going to coach interior defensive linemen. There's two questions I have here. One, Turner must be being moved off the field. That's it feels like that's got to be the case, right? But the other thing that gets me is this. If you're talking about interior defensive lineman in a 3-3-5, that's one guy.
Yeah.
This must – I feel like that's like a signal that they're going to go to more four-man fronts this year.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that when we start talking about the transfer portal, but I'll just go ahead and talk about it now.
Yeah.
The way that they're recruiting the defensive line in this cycle is awfully suspicious that there might be some changes in how they run their defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
I think – Just guessing. I don't, you know, I haven't talked to anybody about this off the record, on the record, or anything, but just looking at the players that they're going after, it looks to me like they might be going more four down.
Yeah.
Because we just don't see any true nose tackle types.
Right.
I don't see a, I'm not saying that there's even a guy available like this, but I don't see a Jeffrey Simmons type recruit. A right. guy that not his caliber, but the type of player that he is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really recruiting any of those players. They're recruiting more, you know, straight up defensive tackles, and that to me just I have to believe that that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And to say that Turner's going to coach the interior, the defensive line. You're right. Why would he coach one group of players, which is probably like three
like
four or
four guys. Yeah.
So. You know, we haven't gotten word, and they might be multiple, but it just seems to me that that could be where they're going. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that for a couple of weeks now. When you start looking at the portal targets and the guys that they picked up a couple of defensive tackles, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
None of the guys that they're recruiting are true nose tackle types. You know, there's not even like a Calvin Dinkins-looking player out there.
Right.
So, and you know, I don't know how many like legit nose tackle types. Like, there's no like Walter Nolan in this transfer portal right now. I mean, Jaheim Otis is probably, you know, one of the guys closer to that mark, but there's really no like Walter Nolans or anybody like that. But that's what it seems like to me, and I don't know for sure either. You know, who's going to be off the field or analyst or whatever at this point,
right.
Because. As we talked about on the board earlier, I think Paul's mentioned it, you can coach now and practice on the field. Right. Analysts can be involved.
Do everything a coach can do except
recruit. Yeah, so with that in mind, it could very well be that, you know, David Turner's just going to coach. I don't know. I really don't at this point. But it's the only thing that really makes sense because it doesn't appear they're going to make a change at cornerbacks. With Corey Bell, and you need somebody recruiting that position, and you know Matt Barnes looks like he's sticking it out, which don't really have a ton of complaints about Matt Barnes right now.
No,
and it looks like you know Hutzler's moving from edges to
just the inside
interior linebackers, I guess.
Yeah,
so you're kind of down to. I mean, Hutzler's got to recruit, Barnes has got to recruit. You got to let Dancy recruit. So that's kind of But to me, that's what it feels like, because the offensive side of the ball, you just have one guy coaching each position group. So, you know, that one guy's got to be out of the mix there. And Mississippi State's not saying who that is. There hasn't been any talk about it or whatever. So, you know, somebody's got to come out, because there's got to be 10 assistants, and State's at 11 now. So we'll see how it transpires.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. And the timing is interesting, too. We talked a little bit about that. Like, why would you let them get through the portal phase? And perhaps that's part of the reason why with Mississippi State, they've done okay on the offensive line, and they've done okay on the defensive line. But it feels like they could have – there have been some targets they've missed on. I don't know if that's the case or not. I feel like they've missed on some targets at almost every position. But at the same time, this portal class is starting to come together, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So, you know, we'll get some – hopefully some more clarity on this staff and how it's going to shape out. You know, it just feels like the easy thing to do is to turn Turner into an analyst. Maybe you don't even announce that he's an analyst. You just, you know, you just say, hey, we're bringing this. This is the staff. And, you know,
it's the guy that, like, I don't think that he's a huge fan of how this new era of football is playing out. NIL, transfer portal, all that stuff. I think he's done a good job in recent weeks in recruiting. But, you know, I don't think that this era is something that really excites him, that he really enjoys. So if that's the case and you're going to keep him around, then just give him a job where he's going to coach and develop kids.
Yeah.
And that's something that he's done a pretty good job at over the years.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your thoughts on him, you know, he's been a good developer and, for the most part, evaluator. It feels like this era is just not really his bag.
Agreed.
He likes looking at the high upside guys that are getting overlooked, and not really.
He needs guys that he can develop.
Yeah.
A lot of times too, like we all know that Simmons. Well, he never coached Simmons, but
recruited him.
But Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, these were freak athlete, 4-star, 5-star guys coming out of high school. But I think if you asked David Turner, his favorite success stories are probably guys like Preston Smith,
Ryan Brown.
I mean, played in the NFL. You know, guys like A.J. Jefferson. You know, just guys who worked hard and became good players through hard work and developed. Weren't leaving for one school to the other the next year. So I get that.
It's not impossible to do that now, but it's a lot harder than it used to be.
No question.
Because guys just aren't sticking around. You don't have players long enough to develop them over a 3-year period of time. Mm-hmm. It used to be, you know, guys would come in, red shirt. I mean, think about like Benardrick McKinney.
Right.
Like Benardrick McKinney comes in, totally different position, but he comes in and he gains the weight that he needed to gain. He's set behind some good linebackers. And as a red shirt freshman, he's getting playing time. And then, you know, year three, he's making a big jump. Jet Johnson and Bukie Watson are like the last guys
vestiges of that era.
I mean, just don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's you have to start going after players that are either, you know, already there or are pretty close to it. It's very difficult to just go get a guy now that everybody missed on that was just slipping under a rock.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
And you turn them into an NFL player. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Because even if you find that guy, chances are he's going to want to play and he's going to leave after 1 year. So
I feel, you know who's really getting killed from this whole era of football is these group of five teams.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about like Tulane.
If you get a star player,
he's gone.
It's going to be tough to keep him.
Tulane had a great season in Summerall's first year.
Yeah.
And he loses his two best players immediately.
What you got to do if you're Tulane is you got to go out and you got to find the guys below you.
Yeah. Like,
That are guys at group of five schools that aren't good.
Yeah.
That means the schools aren't good, but the players like stand out. I mean,
it's going to be really hard for those schools to survive. I mean, it's almost going to be like they're going to have their own little playoff.
We've talked about deal. That's been something that's been discussed, I think. And I don't know if it'll ever happen.
I don't like it, man. Like I
like where we are right now. And what I mean by that is I like that Boise State is going to play Penn State on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. I'm looking forward to that game. I like the idea that Boise State can win the national title, but we'll see.
I don't think they can win, though.
They don't think they can win the national title, but I think they can beat Penn State. I think they can beat Penn State. But we'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. It's brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. In this new year, make it your business's best year and do that with a great plan of attack from our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. They can put your business on the map. They can get customers in. They can keep them coming in for a long, long time. They've got 30 years of experience doing that for other businesses in the state. So why not yours? Give Cam Baker a call today at 601-499-5216. All right, I didn't forget the number over the break. Great job, Brian.
Yeah.
And he will get in touch with you. He will take care of everything for you. He'll get you a plan that you're going to listen to and say, hey, that's the plan for me. Let's make it happen. And the next thing you know, your business is thriving thanks to Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. It's been too long since I have been in Two Brothers, so I need to do that. You know, these holidays, you know, people take time off. I get it. But I got to get back over there very soon. I also need to get back to the older brother as well, Starkville's Best. It's, I don't know if it's still a new restaurant. I guess it's newer at this point, but it is a great place to grab lunch in the Cotton District. If you want a fancy sandwich, the place to go is the Older Brother. The Older Brother and Two Brothers Smoked Meats, two of Robbie and I's favorite places right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Businesses. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's simply a phone call away. It's easy. It's no hassle. And because they're in Mississippi, we're not talking about a week turnaround. We're not talking about having to wait around for somebody to show up. A lot of times they can fix your problem the same day. That's because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any games this fall, make sure you head over to Maroon & Co. I was in Maroon & Co. Right before Christmas, picked up a gift for our Dirty Santa down in Vicksburg, and I was glad to see that the Thunder 15 code is very much still in effect. So if you want to save some money on MSU gear, get it at Maroon & Co. Thunder 15 is the promo code. It's a 15% on regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. I got to tell you, I don't know what the exclusions are. Every time I've gone in there to buy something, I've asked, hey, can I use the Thunder 15 promo code? And they say, yeah. So whatever those exclusions are, they are few and far between. So check it out. Head over to Maroon & Co. the next time you're in Starkville for Mississippi State sports. No Cruton song on this one. Let's just get into the portal because a lot has happened since, like we said, the last time we were all together. I think the last guys we covered, Robbie, were Jalen Smith and Jure Bledsoe. And then State picked up three commitments that same Sunday after we had recorded our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with those guys. Kobe Keenum is the first one, lineman out of Kentucky. State recruited him pretty heavily out of high school, and he is related to a certain Brandon F. Walker, as I am told.
Brandon.
I paid him a lot of NIL dollars out of my $7 million contract. This is a guy who I think you and I would agree will compete for either the starting center or starting one of the starting guard spots in this upcoming spring.
Yeah, I think versatile guy. This is everybody that follows recruiting remembers him just a couple years ago. State was in a battle with Kentucky for him. State thought they were going to get him because of his connections to Mississippi State, and he never would pull the trigger. And ends up at Kentucky, played in, I think, every game but one this year and was competing up front. So just a good piece to add to the mix there. You needed to add some depth at that center position because I just didn't really know what to expect there with Ethan Miner gone. I thought played really well this year. Mm-hmm. So you needed to add some depth there, and I like both pieces that they picked up. It's going to make for some good competition in the spring.
All right. Our next,
let's go ahead and drop Carson Lee in there.
Carson Lee, we'll hit him up as well from Eastern Michigan. Another interior offensive lineman, played center there as well. Feels like he's more of a center than a guy who can slide over to guard, though. Keenan might have a little bit more versatility.
Yeah, he's a pure center, and he's a guy that's, I think, started for the last 2 years at Eastern Michigan. Older guy. This is a safe center option, I think, for Mississippi State. If you slide him into the mix, he's the starter. I don't think that it's going to be a bad thing. So you get him and Kobe Keenum, and you know, I think Malik Ellis has been a guy that's been mentioned for center. You put him in the mix, I think you have some good solid competition there that can that you feel good about. You know, most of those guys up there.
Yeah. All right. Then on the defensive side of the ball, last Sunday, defensive end from Texas A&M, Malik Silla, an edge rusher, defensive end type. We're talking about that 4-3 thing. This is a guy who fits that an idea, the idea of a 4-3 defensive end, in my opinion. This is the guy who could put his hand in the ground but be a potential threat at rushing the passer.
Yeah, and can pull, if you put him in 3-4, could be an edge.
Could be an edge.
I think he could play either one of those spots. And, you know, edge might be better for him, just kind of standing up and taking off. But because he is a fairly thin guy, you know, a lot like Dontari Russell, I think.
Yeah.
But he's
who, by the
been
way,
more productive.
Not in the portal yet. Is this going to work out?
Probably a guy. If you told me, like, in the middle,
the first one in.
If you told me in the middle of the season, like, who do you think is the most likely to transfer? I would say him.
I'm surprised he didn't go in during the season.
It really is.
Maybe DeMonte played a role in that and was like, look, stay. Let's.
And I think he likes it here.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if he can kind of get it together, that's a guy that can help you and
could start.
I mean, at this point, he's not getting in the portal until after the spring, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe that's what
close.
He's going to do. He's going to let the spring play out.
I think that would be good. You see how you have him back, see how he adjusts, and if he's on board and he is, you know, good teammate and all that stuff, then you got a guy that is a pass rushing specialist, and it makes your pass rush better.
Right.
But I think this guy's a lot like that, but more experienced and more productive. He played at Texas A&M, so good pickup, I think.
We'll stay on the defensive line. We'll get to the other guy last. We'll do him last. But Auburn brings Darren Reed to Mississippi State. This is a potential overproduction kind of guy. No stats to speak of at Auburn, but was a highly recruited kid out of high school. I'm one of these guys at this point. Like, if you tell me this guy was a true freshman this year, a four-star true freshman that had offers from everybody and didn't play, he redshirted.
You get excited about
it. I get excited. This is a guy who's like in his third or fourth year. I got to wonder why it hasn't clicked yet.
And some people got really upset at me the other day because it was asked of me on Twitter.
I get it.
Is this an impact guy that y'all have been talking about State needing? And I said no. And people got upset about that. But if you've played now for two seasons – and I realize he redshirted that first year, but he only played in two games. And then this year, at a guy that they weren't redshirting didn't record any stats. Then it's at that point you're starting to think, okay, it's just not going to work. So it's definitely a stretch to me.
Yeah,
there's obviously an opportunity that this dude could turn it on. But in this day of age of college sports, if you're going into year three and you have no production whatsoever, it is concerning. You start to question why. But my thing with this is if you add a couple of other pieces to that position, it just doesn't bother me that much. If you're relying on this guy, if you're saying that this is going to be a starter for you next year, and it's you know, very similar to like Kedrick Bingley Jones, where he had very little production in several years, then that is a concern. But yes, there is potential there. You know, obviously, as a four-star guy that just about everybody in the country wanted out of high school, there is a chance the light can come on. But to kind of break the code when you're following transfer portal recruiting, and you're looking at players that you feel like can help you. How many years do they have left, and how much production have they had? And to me, a guy like Rasheen Thomas that we're going to talk about, who has played for 4 or 5 years in Northern Illinois and had a tremendous amount of production, I value that, even if it's on a lower level, over someone that was a highly rated player at high school. Once you get to this stage, your high school ranking means nothing. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So just using that as a barometer of how good a player is, it doesn't count. It shouldn't it should hardly be in your repertoire at this point. If you're if you play 2 years of college football and you have no production, the fact that you're a four-star means very little at this point. So we'll see what happens. But in 2 years, zero tackles is concerning to me. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you're able to get guys in here that have been productive and this you're not relying heavily on this guy, you can afford to do this. So there's still plenty of time for them to do that. I'm not by any means saying panic or anything, but I'm just speaking the truth on what I feel like is the case with Darren Reed, and we'll see if it comes together for him.
All right. The other defensive lineman to sign is a guy with some production, Rasheen.
That's what I would go with.
Rasheen Thomas out of Northern Illinois. This is a guy who's played a lot and put up some big numbers for Northern Illinois. This is probably one of your starting defensive ends next year.
Yeah, you know, to me, I would pencil him in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he could be a starter for you. Almost 200 tackles. Was going to have a huge year last year, I feel like, before he got injured. Mm-hmm. And had he not gotten injured, you wouldn't have seen him here. But, you know, this is the defensive end position is really coming together.
Mm-hmm.
I think State has a chance to have some really solid defensive end depth.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back some guys. Like, I know you get a twitch in your eye when we talk about Travion Williams, but he was solid this year. He played a full season. So, you know, adding more people to that depth chart.
Yeah.
Can't hurt. But that's the thing the State, I feel like, needed more than anything is bodies.
Yeah.
Like,
they also needed a few guys that were above.
Yeah, no doubt. But to me, the number one priority was just adding bodies, guys that can come in and just spell somebody and not suck.
And then on that note, hasn't happened as of yet. By the time you listen to this, it might have happened. But Mississippi State expects a commitment from Coastal Carolina defensive lineman Will Whitson. They expect that soon, if not today, tomorrow, the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, we've been sitting around waiting on it for a while. I got to think if it doesn't happen.
Waiting on Will Whitson.
From Winton Woods High School.
Winton Woods.
But this is another guy that is just, like, really productive. He was hurt last year, too, but was another guy that was going to have a big year. This is a player that I think really helps you, too. And it changes the talent and the ability from this defensive line going into next year when you add players like Rasheen Thomas and Will Whitson. That's what this team was missing. And they didn't do a good job in the portal last year filling those holes. They just kind of ran it with what they had, and turns out you have a season-ending injury. You have a guy that you're relying on at nose tackle that got basically dismissed from the team. Got another season-ending injury, and Kedrick Manley-Jones. There are just so many things happening, and you had nobody to replace him with.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're adding a lot of depth, and it's a pretty solid mix of potential and guys that have
and
done
production.
It. And I think this is a real shift into the other direction for State to get Rasheen Thomas and Will Whitson back-to-back.
Will Whitson.
If you're able to get Whitson here, I think that it's going to be it's a group that I feel like you can be a lot more excited about.
And there's still some people yet to jump into the portal. We've still got a long way to go. And one thing I've come to the conclusion on is this: you know, you see people like, well, you don't need to recruit this because you got no. It's got to be get the best players you can and figure it out.
Yep.
And if you got to make a hard decision,
don't worry about the numbers.
If
right
you got to tell somebody, hey, I thought we had a spot for you, but we don't. Because those same players will jump into the portal without telling you a thing.
Yes.
So why not? If we're going to have a business goes both ways. And if we're going to say the players can leave and it's a business, then the coaches can get rid of these players and it's a business. I have no problem. You know, let me just look at this list here. I'll just pluck a name here for you here. We go back to let's say Jure Bledsoe, right? That's a guy I don't think we're much expecting. Or even Darren Reed.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody pops out from Ohio State or Penn State and Mississippi State can get them, and it's like, well, we have to make a choice here between this better player or Darren Reed, you just tell Darren Reed, like, hey, you need to get back in the portal.
Yeah, sorry, but
it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I just don't have, you know, at this point, when you're able to transfer whenever, wherever you want, just about, and everybody's making money.
You got to make your
just,
team the best you can. That's your job.
It's
Jeff Levy's job.
Yeah, you've turned into professionals at this point, and that's just the nature of it.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, the last one we got to talk about. We're so excited.
Fluffy.
Fluff Bothwell has joined.
Great name.
Has joined the Mississippi State roster, the running back out of South Alabama. You know, on a list of, if you said, hey, who were State's top picks at certain positions, Bothwell was the number one running back the State was after. That was the guy they wanted to get onto the roster.
And probably, I'd probably put him at number one on this entire transfer portal list at this point.
Guys they wanted to get, and they
well, got. Just the best player.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, I mean, that's where I think On3 has him ranked, I'm pretty sure.
I think he's a 4-star.
Yeah. State, you know, and we haven't really talked about this JUCO thing, and it looks like Devon Booth, I think you talked about it a little bit on the board, that Mississippi State's going to at least make an effort to bring him back for another season. But if you're telling me that running back room is Devon Booth with Fluff Bothwell and Johnny Daniels, we'll see what happens with Seth Davis, the two true freshmen. That's a quality room, though.
Really
You've got
good.
Real SEC caliber depth.
You got a good problem there with the fact that you don't know, you know, who's going to get the carries.
Yeah.
Bothwell is a true impact running back in this system.
Yeah.
Very low center of gravity, a guy you're not bringing down the first tackle, had a tremendous year this year for South Alabama. I think that he is a breakout star. Potentially for Mississippi State. This is a guy that most of college football knew about despite playing at South Alabama. You know, everybody,
their name doesn't hurt on that.
Right. And that's what's great about it is, you know, the guy's good and he has a cool name. So, you know, he's a guy you can really market. Like, can he sell the marshmallows or something? But I'm really interested to see how.
I mean, if you're Strange Brew, don't you have to kind of put something together with some fluff?
Oh yeah,
you gotta make a
are you? Well, no, I mean you have
marshmallow. You do some fluff.
You could, or you have some fluff in the hot chocolate or whatever. Like instead of using the whipped cream, it's fluff.
It's fluff.
Yes. No, absolutely. I think that's a billion-dollar idea.
Ooh.
But he is a guy that I think could really break out for this offense. And we've talked about that running game and how important it is for Jeff Levy's offense. We saw it as the season went on really kind of coming together. I'm really interested to see how it does now that you're a full year in. Most of that group is returning and, you know, has familiarity with the offense. I'm really interested to see how it goes with that group, and now, you know, Blake Shapen, he didn't have a running game.
Yeah.
Whenever he was starting
the
season,
running game didn't take off until
non-existent
later. Yeah.
So, you know, if you get Devon Booth back, that 1-2 punch with him and Fluff is going to make that offense look a little different.
Yeah,
next year. And like I said, Fluff is a guy that he's not going down on first tackle.
No.
So he could really move the chains for State and produce some big numbers, I feel like.
I agree. When we last did this podcast, we were like, this portal class, they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the point now where I feel like they're going in the right direction. They just need to add a few more things. I mean, they still need to add another 6-7 guys because they need a couple receivers. They need a couple offensive linemen. They need a couple more defensive linemen. They definitely need some cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like they're at least
– you're narrowing it down.
You're getting to where you need to be.
We are critical when we need to be, and we give credit when we need to give it.
That's right.
And we're going to give credit on this. State has done a good job really filling some holes and making this roster more competitive for the SEC. I think you're starting to see that floor rise for them a little bit. I don't know where the ceiling is.
Right.
I don't know where this roster ends up in terms of, you know, how good it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you're now becoming a more respectable SEC roster of what you have.
Agreed.
And, you know, David Turner has landed some pieces, especially if he gets Whitson. He's landed some pieces here that's going to help that defense from top to bottom because what you do up front affects the entire defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to be able to get after the quarterback. They've made a conscious effort of going and getting defensive ends and edge rushers that have had production getting after the quarterback. And that was the most important thing. So they're getting to where they've almost fixed that. And now you got cornerback has been not great to this point.
Yeah, they got to figure that out.
Corey Bell's got – he's got work to do. And then Chad Bumpus and the wide receivers, they got to get – they have to get wide receivers because they lost their two – three most productive wide receivers, Kelly, Corey – which, by the way, I want to explain something on that JUCO rule because people have been confused by it. Kelly Akari is going to the NFL draft in large part because of the fact that he graduated high school in 2019. The rule that they have in place now, I don't even know if it's a rule, a hard rule, but kind of the provisions they've put on this whole JUCO thing is you have to have graduated high school 2020 or later. And Kelly Akari, I still have not been able to find what happened between 2019 and 2020, but he did not play football.
He was like Kane, Kung Fu. He's just wandering the earth.
Apparently. So after 2019, he graduated in 19. He didn't play in 19. His first year was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what happened there, but that's why he can't play. And the same, I think, is going to be in place for True Edwards from Louisiana Tech.
Receiver, yeah.
Somebody brought it up on our board that he graduated in 19. In accordance to that rule or whatever they've put out, they cannot get that year back. And I guess you could probably sue the NCAA just like Diego Pavia did, and maybe you could get that year. But, you know, at the end of the day, is it worth it for some of these guys? Like, that's going to be a long, drawn-out process. I just don't know how many schools are going to do that or players. So, Kelly Akari is going to the NFL draft. You've lost Kevin Coleman. You've lost Mario Craver. You've got to have some impact wide receivers. And to this point, they've gotten two guys that showed some flashes. And Glover from Michigan State and Brennan Thompson from Oklahoma, but neither one of those have been, you know, truly high impact number one, number two receivers. So State still needs to go out and they probably need to get three guys that are starter caliber.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're counting on a lot of guys that haven't really proven it yet. Yeah. So wide receiver, cornerbacks, that's where I'm kind of narrowing my focus right now. And even, you may be another offensive lineman.
We shall see. We shall see as the portal continues to move on. Before we get out of here, we would be remiss to not offer up our, you know, I'm not a big thoughts and prayers kind of guy, but it does need to be said. The family of Donte Walker, Mississippi State, former running back. I don't want to go through the whole what might have been with Donte Walker. I do know that he was one of the most talented football players I ever got to watch play, and it just didn't work out that way. That wasn't the path that was laid out for him, but gone way too soon at the age of 45. Passed away, I believe, Saturday evening or Sunday, or was it Friday evening or Saturday evening? It must have been
Friday
evening. Yeah, yep. I was on my way back from Vicksburg there, and just a brutal loss for the Mississippi State family. Guys, you know, saw him play in college, and I thought, man, the sky's the limit for him.
I still remember him in high school. You know, we always talked about the fact State had a parade All-American.
Number one running back in the country.
Yeah, and he was like a legendary figure coming out of Clinton.
He's in the Marcus Dupree tier is by itself, right?
Yeah.
He's by himself at number one. If you want to say who is the second greatest high school running back of all time, Donte Walker is in Mississippi. Donte Walker is going to be in that discussion.
Yeah. And, so, you know, a lot of people have bad memories of Donte.
Yeah.
You know, the end was not great.
Correct.
And I think that you have to give him a hat tip because he had a rough few years there at Mississippi State, not on the field and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that knew him around that time can attest to that, but he had an incredible story. His life was completely turned around, and he was a changed man.
Yeah,
and it was really awesome to see, you know, kind of where he came in life. But when he got to State in those first couple of years, in his prime, Donte was a monster. He was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember going to the Independence Bowl and the Snow Bowl.
Yeah,
And watching him run in that ball game.
I thought that game was going to be the next year he was going to be a high school
candidate. He's going to make that turn.
Yeah.
And He just didn't, but
didn't happen.
I'm glad that he was able to find some peace in his life and turn things around. But definitely for me as a kid around that time frame, one of my heroes.
Yeah.
And those running backs back then on Jackie Sherrill's teams, they were heroes for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you know, just another Mississippi State legend gone way too soon.
Yeah.
Too many of them the last, you know, 10, 15 years that were, you know, under the age of 50.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's kind of sad to see a life gone that quickly, but
no doubt.
Certainly thoughts and prayers to his family and the loved ones for sure.
All right. Tomorrow's show, we'll do a little more about basketball. Maybe we'll have some more clarity on this football coaching thing. Maybe some more commitments to talk about. Plenty to talk about this week. We got a long week. We will have no podcast on Thursday of this week for New Year's Day. Robbie and I'll take the day off on that one. But we will have a New Year's rumblings for you for New Year's Day. So while you're getting your black-eyed peas and your greens ready, you can listen to Thunder and Lightning. Glad you didn't pull a Cam Ward here and leave after the first commercial break.
I don't do that. I stick with my commitments.
Thought you might have just walked out on me there.
No, I don't do it.
I appreciate that. All right, guys, back with you tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.